Welcome into another episode of the Bengals Beat Podcast as Charlie Goldsmith and I get ready for the Super Bowl as the Bengals are set to take on the Rams in the biggest game of the season. The Bengals are going to hit the road on Tuesday, fly out to LA, get acclimated out here, and play in the game on Sunday. You know, Charlie, we've talked about just kind of like the surprise in this, but you know, now that it's actually here this week, what are your biggest thoughts heading into the game?
Yeah, ultimately what I'm focused on is some of the same areas in team building and organizational philosophy that we were talking about in January and February, March, April, and May. The whole point of the way the Bengals were built was adding players who had won college championships, adding players who had made deep playoff runs, and adding specific type of skill sets, great receivers, versatile defensive players who would be ready for whatever kind of adjustment, whatever kind of approach they needed to take in a game like this. They're hoping that all of that design pays off in the biggest stage. And I guess now the focus is on the Bengals stars and the guys and the approach that brought them here.
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about all the stars in this matchup. We'll start with the Bengals offense versus the Rams defense. Obviously, the highlights here are how does the Bengals offensive line match up against the Rams defensive front led by Aaron Donald, Von Miller, and Leonard Floyd. And then, of course, the Bengals wide receivers versus that Rams secondary. All eyes seem to be on Ja'Marr Chase and Jalen Ramsey, but if the Rams decide to take away Ja'Marr Chase, look at how T. Higgins played against the Chiefs. When you look at how the Rams have played defense, the Rams defense, just for Bengals fans to kind of, if you haven't been able to see the Rams play a whole lot, think of this game being the Broncos versus the Bengals back in December when the Bengals traveled out to Denver and faced the Broncos defense, and it was a very hard game for the Bengals to get anything going offensively. I think it's good that the Bengals were able to come out of that game with a win, even though it wasn't necessarily one in the way that they would hope for. But I think they'll be able to take lessons learned from facing that Fangio-style defense that they struggled against as they prepare for this Rams defense, because as we know, the Rams implemented this style of defense last year when Brandon Staley came over to be the defensive coordinator. He left and is now the head coach of the Los Angeles Chargers, but Raheem Morris came in and took over that system. They moved Jalen Ramsey a lot in the secondary. He plays outside. He plays in the slot. They play him in this role called their star position, basically to help him get his hands on the ball because they think, and he is one of the best defensive backs, if not the best in the NFL, but it really all starts with the Rams up front and that acquisition of Von Miller really took this defense that wasn't playing that well this season to great in the postseason. And if you watch the Rams versus the Bucks game, they absolutely got after Tom Brady and put him under duress all day long. And that was against one of the better offensive lines. So Charlie, let's break down the Rams defensive line versus the Bengals offensive line. Who on the Bengals offensive line do you think is going to have the toughest matchup? And what do you think when teams have beaten the Rams and neutralized that pass rush, what do you think they've done well?
Yeah, I think Isaiah Prince is the most important offensive lineman in this game. What the Rams do is they use a lot of post-snap motion, basically, with their defensive linemen. A lot of guys will engage in a block and kind of release, shift over two spots, and engage with another offensive lineman. They target weaknesses. They try to use that to foil double teams. Listen, I expect the Bengals' full attention to be Aaron Donald. I went back and watched that 2019 game. What they did was that exact strategy. And what it left the Rams was with one-on-one matchups on the outside, usually with the right tackle, sometimes with the left tackle. I think it was like Andre Smith or something in that game. So that was a weakness the Rams felt like they were able to exploit. Isaiah Prince is the least experienced offensive lineman the Bengals have in this game. He'll probably, because of the attention that Aaron Donald will rightfully receive and the attention that Zach Taylor schematically has showed he's going to give Donald, the Bengals will likely prioritize that. As a result, having to take their chances with whichever pass rusher the Rams try to scheme against Isaiah Prince. Most likely that's Von Miller. Von Miller's very good. The Bengals have to overcome that, like they did successfully, give them credit, against the Titans and the Chiefs.
Yeah, it'll be all about Burrow making plays with his feet, as we saw him do often in the Chiefs game, and then getting the ball out quickly. And I do think that, and I wrote this week, for as much as everyone's going to talk about the Bengals probably not being able to block what the Rams have up front, the Bengals have better receivers than the Rams do defensive backs. And I think, as you saw in that Bucs game against the Rams, Jalen Ramsey, he's really good, but he does give up big plays from time to time. And I think he's not necessarily going to follow Ja'Marr Chase all around the field all game long. That's not really what he does. But I don't think if the Bengals are able to get Burrow out of the pocket and get the ball out of his hands quick, I don't think that the Rams secondary is overly scary in terms of, I think this is a matchup that the Bengals should probably feel good about if they're able to give Joe Burrow time. Do you think that part of what we saw with the Chiefs, the game plan was those early first down runs to Joe Mixon? Do you envision Zach following a similar game plan in that, or do you think that we'll see something from the Bengals offense, knowing Zach's experience with the offense, the Rams team, that we'll maybe see stuff that we haven't seen yet from the Bengals in terms of offensive game planning?
Yeah, it can't be the same game plan they used against the Chiefs. The Chiefs and Rams, I think they're pretty opposite defenses. The Chiefs thing is blitzing with Steve Spagnuolo and using incredibly physical press coverage at the line of scrimmage with man-to-man principles. The Rams, what I'm fully expecting in this game based on the statistical profile Joe Burrow has, second in the league against man defense, closer to average against zone, based on the profile Burrow has against blitzes, one of the best blitzing quarterbacks in the entire NFL, and compared to how Burrow does when he's not blitzed. And then when you look at the Rams secondary, the Jalen Ramsey surrounded by interchangeable pieces, here's what I'm expecting. A rush four with the first full defensive line I mentioned with zone behind them. It's what those Fangio and Staley style defenses did to the Bengals. The priority in those areas are like shallow crossing routes, either the 5-yard range or the 15-yard range. Higgins and Boyd feasted off those in both those games. And then that corner 20 yards down the field area where Higgins and Chase have both been great at kind of evading the safety, Burrow using his eyes to do the same thing. So those are the areas of the field plus Burrow's legs the Bengals are going to have to take advantage of, because they won't be able to have the same approach they had against the Chiefs.
Yeah, and having covered Raheem Morris for the years that I did in Atlanta, like, he's known for that soft zone, and you've seen him do it a number of times with the Rams this year. So as you mentioned, could be a big day for Tyler Boyd, who Joe Burrow went out of his way today to just explain how impactful Tyler Boyd is in this offense. And Raheem Morris talked about the Bengals wide receivers, and he said they've got a really nice crew, and it's not surprising that they are where they are because of those wide receivers. He said Higgins can take you over the top, Chase can do it all with his yards after catch, and Tyler Boyd is one of the best choice runners in the slot. So they certainly have earned the attention of the Rams, and we'll see how it all plays out in terms of if those receivers are going to be able to be a factor, if the Bengals can find a way to get Burrow out of the pocket and get the ball out of his hands. All right, so now that we've talked about the Bengals offense versus the Rams defense, let's switch over and talk about the Bengals defense versus this Rams offense. It's very different than in 2019 when they faced each other because of the quarterback under center for the Rams, Matthew Stafford. The Rams made that big trade for him around this time last year in hopes to take an offense that was a pretty good offense under Sean McVay to a great offense. And in the postseason, Matthew Stafford has been everything I think the Rams hoped he'd be. What do you think Anarumo's game plan is going to be on defense for the Bengals, Charlie?
It's funny, I gave the profile of Joe Burrow and against different types of coverages. The quarterback that resembles that profile the most is Matthew Stafford. He's even better than Joe Burrow against the blitz, and he shreds man coverage in a very similar way. The key of these two defenses, or of these two offenses, excuse me, is the mismatches they create at wide receiver and the opportunities that give them when you try to go man. You almost have to go zone against them. And because Matthew Stafford takes so many chances, more than anyone in the league, over the top, specifically, the Bengals need, I don't want to call it conservative, but a safer zone with more of a priority on taking away the deep part of the field. I say conservative, but that's almost the most aggressive way you can guard the Rams, because that's the area of the field where Matthew Stafford makes most of his mistakes. So if it's a well-executed zone with Bates and Bell maybe even higher in coverage than they usually are, it sounds more conservative, but really that's the most aggressive thing they can do to try to turn Stafford over, take away the explosive plays they rely on, and force the Rams to beat you over the middle of the field.
Yeah, and obviously the Rams not only have the stellar play from Stafford on offense, but Cooper Kupp this year has been unbelievable. The Triple Crown winner led the NFL in receiving yards, catches, and receiving touchdowns. He'll likely draw a lot of attention from the Bengals in what we've seen from the Bengals and how they defended Tyreek Hill, etc., with Chido Uzue kind of being the top number one cover guy. Tougher game for Uzue against the Chiefs, so we'll see what he rebounds with. But the matchup that we should really talk about is how the Bengals are going to defend Odell Beckham with Eli Apple, because I'm not sure there's been one player on the Bengals roster whose season has been more up and down than Eli Apple. At times, he's looked like a total liability, but then there's also been times where he's made some game-changing plays and has held his own against top receivers, and Odell Beckham has been the key missing piece for this Rams offense in the postseason. Do you think that Odell presents as many challenges as the Chiefs' secondary receiving core did, as we saw last week?
And this is, again, where the zone aspect of it comes into play. What the Bengals did against Kansas City was they kind of positioned multiple, they call them robbers, over the middle of the field. They had one specifically looking at Travis Kelce's area, and since the Chiefs run so many crossing routes, that's kind of their bread and butter over the middle, plus with Kelce kind of on the next level, they put the robbers more in the middle. With the Bengals and with the Chiefs style, or excuse me, with the Rams style of play, with what they have on that outside element with Odell Beckham Jr., you can skew more help towards the sideline. In addition to the help you're giving Cooper Kupp, use those defenders to get, whether or not Beckham's on a Apple or a Wuje side of the field, to get additional support in that matchup. What impressed me about Odell was that he's playing even better than LA because he's making more styles of catches. Incredible on comeback routes, incredible on posts over the middle, making acrobatic catches in the end zone as well. Odell looks great, and that's why you have to structure the game plan the way you do, because he can probably beat you in one-on-one coverage.
Yeah, and it'd be a lot different if the Rams had Robert Woods, because the three of them, that would be a lot for the Bengals to carry. But I want to go back to what Stafford said about the Bengals defense, and I think it kind of explains where the Cincinnati's defense is at. And we talked a lot about it earlier in the season, but Stafford said they give you a lot to look at as a quarterback. You have to be ready for a lot. And he started his assessment of the Bengals defense with Jesse Bates and Von Bell. And I thought that is a complete change from how we were talking about the Bengals and everyone else at the beginning of the season. We were just talking about the defensive line with Larry Ogunjobi, Trey Hendrickson, Sam Hubbard, obvious DJ Reader. Those guys obviously still playing at a very high level. Larry Ogunjobi not playing right now as he's on IR. But the safeties and the way that Jesse Bates and Von Bell, because of their film study and because of how much work they do to get themselves ready, have completely propelled this Bengals defense in a way I'm not sure. I think the hope was when you have two guys like Von and Jesse to be this, but the story of the play of the safeties for the Bengals and the fact that Stafford singled them out most, I think, is very telling of the strides that this Bengals defense has made.
Yeah, there are two quarterbacks in the NFL where safety play is the most important against. One is Patrick Mahomes. Two is Matthew Stafford. Break down all of Matthew Stafford's 18 interceptions this year, counting the regular season and the playoffs. Half of those interceptions came on plays where Matthew Stafford thought he had the safety faked out, basically attempted a ridiculous deep throw down the field because he thought he had a chance to hit early in the year DeSean Jackson or Robert Woods, later in the year Odell Beckham, more Cooper Kupp and Van Jefferson as well. He thought he had a chance for one of those guys, but the safety and the way they recognized the play turned a 60-yard gain into a turnover. And I think that having the safeties that the Bengals have who can play high coverage as well as they do and hand off assignments and communicate as well as they do is more important against Stafford than basically anyone else.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously we just broke down the matchups from the Bengals defense to the Bengals, the Rams offense. But I think what's huge here is I don't think the Bengals can overcome a game how they played against the Chiefs. And I know their comebacks have been, you know, a joy for everybody to say, oh, well, it doesn't matter how many points the Bengals are down. Joe Burrow can lead them back. Sean McVay has only lost one game in his career as a head coach in which he's been trailing at halftime. The Bengals cannot afford to spot the Rams three scores at halftime and think that they're going to win in this environment at SoFi Stadium, which is essentially going to be a Rams home game. And it's not because I don't think that Joe Burrow can do it. It's just the style of the Rams. They play so much better when they have a lead. The games that they've lost this year, it's like I point to the Titans game, that game on Sunday Night Football that we all watched. The Titans put them under pressure all game long and just took Matthew Stafford out of the game from the beginning. And the Rams just weren't able to figure it out. I don't think that this is a game where the Bengals can allow the kind of explosive plays that they allowed to the Chiefs early on, because I think Matthew Stafford is a veteran quarterback. He's better than Patrick Mahomes in late game moments. And I think the Bengals defense is going to not be able to spot and kind of do what they've done all season long, where they go in at halftime and make adjustments. Of course, they're going to have, the Rams are a good team. They're going to score. They're going to get theirs, but it can't be of the magnitude of that Chiefs Bengals game last week, because I just think the Rams are too well coached and too good of a team to overcome that. Charlie, let's finish this conversation by let's each talk about who we think our X factor is for the Bengals to win the Super Bowl. Who do you think the X factor in this game on Sunday will be?
I think they need to create one or multiple interceptions. And as I mentioned with Von Bell and Jesse Bates earlier, there is so much on the safety's plates in this matchup. And also Von Bell and Jesse kind of tie into Lou Anarumo. They're the chess pieces, that they're the queens of the chessboard who can move around the board the most. And the game plan really will be shaped by where Bates and Bell line up and what their style of coverage looks like and how well the Bengals defense able to execute that game plan, plus the plays Bell and Bates can make over the top. That'll be the biggest difference.
Yeah, and it'd be easy for me to, I have a different thought, but it'd be easy for me to say the Bengals offensive line, but I'm actually going to go with Zach Taylor here, because I think this is a game where Zach Taylor knows what the Rams are going to try and do inside and out. Zach Taylor's play calling has got to be the reason that this offense is able to get going and get going quicker than they did against the Chiefs. I just thought the Chiefs game, it got a little bit too predictable. And I know Tony Romo talked a lot about that, but I think Zach Taylor's ability to scheme this game, to get the ball out of Joe Burrow's hand, knowing he knows Aaron Donald, he coached for the Rams for 2 years. He has said he's one of the best players in the NFL. He's got to have a great game plan. And I think him and Brian Callahan will come up with something good, but I'm putting my X factor here in Zach Taylor's play calling and the scheme and game plan the Bengals offense puts together. Well, as always, Charlie and I will be present here in LA, bringing you all the latest of the Bengals coverage as we get ready for the biggest game of the season. And as always, I'm going to bring in Jason Hoffman one more time to break down the betting side of things so we can get a little bit more information. If you're looking to make a bet before the Bengals Rams game, he will give you all of the information. I'm going to bring him in right now.
Let me tell you about the new sports app we've launched as part of our USA Today family. USA Today Sports Plus is the new sports app that puts the fans first. Get the latest scores, stats, and standings, and enjoy interactive experiences with our award-winning sports writers. Download USA Today Sports Plus from the Apple or Google Play stores today. USA Today Sports Plus, fan harder.
All right, here we go. It is Super Bowl week. Can you believe we're saying this right now? I mean, no, it still hasn't settled in for me, to be honest.
I can't believe it. When I first started doing the segment with you, I think we both thought, if the Bengals win, that'd be a good season. No, they defied all of the odds, became one of the luckiest teams, and started playing really good football. There, I'm singing the Bengals praises.
There we go.
They started playing really good football in the month of December, and I think their defense has improved so much. Joe Burrow is playing at an incredibly high level. So, no, I cannot believe I am sitting here in Los Angeles doing this podcast with you, but I can't say I'm mad about it.
Absolutely not. It's the most beautiful weather in the world in Southern California. All right, so one great thing about the Super Bowl is prop bets. So I'm going to start off, instead of going to the actual game itself, over, under, and spread, I'm going to start off with some prop bets, because there's hundreds of these things you can bet on. Everything from the coin toss to the length of the national anthem to the Gatorade that gets dumped on the winning coach, you can bet on all of it. So I'm going to run through some of my favorite prop bets that I like. And if you are a Bengals backer, they are positive money on almost everything. Because again, they're underdogs in this game. So, team to score first. Bengals are plus 105. So, a $100 bet would win you $105. And the Rams are a minus 130. Now, all of this comes down to, in my opinion, the coin toss, because I think, spoiler alert for later, I think we're going to see a very high scoring game. But if you like the Bengals to win or lose the coin toss and get the ball first, however you want to interpret that, you can make some money there. The last team to score. Now, this is an underrated bet, in my opinion. I always like these situational prop bets, especially, like I said, for the Super Bowl, because there's so many of them. Last team to score, Bengals are even money, plus 100. The Rams are a minus 125. Now, that struck me as interesting, because the way that all of the money is going right now, more than 70% of the money is on the Rams to cover. More than 90% is on the Rams to win outright. You would think that that would mean that people think the Bengals are going to be trailing late. So theoretically, they would be the last team to score. So I think that's a really interesting prop, personally. And then my favorite prop bet that's not outlandish and crazy, like the color of the Gatorade or the opening coin toss, you can bet on what the first offensive play will be. Do you want to take a guess at what those odds are, Kelsey?
Joe Mixon run.
Well, yeah. No. Literally the first offensive play of the game, pass or run. Pass is a plus 115. Run is a minus 140. So that would mean that people think the Bengals are going to get the ball first. And of course, as you mentioned, first and Mixon. So those are the ones that
Wouldn't it be nice if the Bengals get the ball first and on the first play of the game, Joe Burrow just takes a total deep shot down the field to Ja'Marr Chase?
So week 17, I think I texted you this, week 17 against the Chiefs, that first offensive play, Chiefs were up in press coverage, single high safety look. I'm looking at the TV and I'm like, go, take it. It's right there, over the top. They did not do that. They, of course, handed the ball off to Joe Mixon. But yes, that would set the tone. That would definitely be a tone setter, in my opinion. And then one more that stood out to me, the longest scoring touchdown of the game, which team will have that? Bengals are a plus 125. Rams are a minus 150. Now, I find this intriguing because the stat breakdowns that I did for our special section that's running Friday, Joe Burrow, his average completion to Ja'Marr Chase and his average length of touchdown are almost 9 yards longer than Matthew Stafford's this year. And that's obviously, as you've covered the team, a lot of yak going on, especially with Ja'Marr Chase. So longest touchdown of the game. I like the Bengals there at plus 125. What say you?
I like that too. Because like I said, like I mentioned earlier in this pod with Charlie, like Jalen Ramsey, the Rams defense is built on taking away everything underneath, and they've shown they can be exposed if you can hit, say, Ja'Marr Chase down the field. And as you mentioned, Ja'Marr Chase's yak, I actually wrote a story about it, and let me pull it up. His yak numbers are even more impressive than you might think. Hang on one second. I'm going to pull up the numbers, but yeah, I like that a lot, and that's kind of not surprising, those numbers.
All right, so what everyone came here for, at least the ones that have stuck in there with us and are listening to this this final segment, the the Super Bowl game itself, the big game, as they call it, because it's copyright.
I got the numbers.
Okay.
Two versus single coverage, Ja'Marr Chase, 183 receiving yards after contact, 294 yards against the catch. Take that bet. He won't. If I think he is the X factor in this game besides Zach Taylor, because if he's able to get going, I don't think they have an answer for him. So now continue with your Super Bowl.
Okay. So the game itself, the line, it's been interesting. The line's moved a decent amount. So it opened up at 4, went up to 4.5, came back to 4. And now as we sit here on Monday, I'm in frigid Cincinnati and you're in a lovely Los Angeles. It is now down to 3.5. And the Bengals plus the points plus the 3.5 are a -105. So bet 105 to win 100. The Rams are a -115. So they're still the odds on favorites to both cover the spread and win the game. But I find that intriguing. We've had an entire point, half point up, back to the level, half point down swing a week since this line was created. The over-under has stayed steady, 48.5. I like the over in this game all day long. I see a 35 to 28, a 35 to 31 type game. I think both teams get there. I think it covers 48.5 very easily. What do you think?
I'm going to take the under. I think this is a lower scoring game because I think the Rams, as I mentioned, have very good defense. And I think the Bengals defense has been playing really well. I'm going to take the under there because I think the Bengals are going to struggle to score as easily as they have. And on the other end, I think you got to buy stock in the Bengals being able to be opportunistic and forcing some turnovers. So I'm going to take the under there on the points.
Okay. And then the line itself on the game, Bengals plus 3.5, Rams minus 3.5. I'm going to go Bengals plus 3.5. I like that extra half point. I liked it, you know, when it was at 4, I like it at 3.5. Even if it drops down to 3, I still like it because you get that push opportunity in there. But yeah, like I've been saying all postseason, I like a whole number, whether that's a field goal or a touchdown. I don't like these 5-point games. I like 3, 3.5. So that's where I'm going. What do you say?
I'm going the Rams -3.5. I think, as I mentioned, I think the Bengals, and look, nobody believed they would ever get to this point. So if they lose this game, Bengals fans should not. Obviously, you're going to be sad, right? But what a magical season. But I think it ends at the Rams' house because I just think all the stars have really aligned for them to win this game. So I'm taking the Rams -3.5.
Hey, it's you know, one of my favorite cliches about the league. There's 31 teams that are unhappy with the way their season ended every single year. So, all right. Well, we disagree. You say Rams and the under. I say Bengals and the over. I like it. Got some, don't have complete agreement on it. That's a good thing, especially for
our.
Make sure everyone out there listening, again, that you follow along Kelsey all week out there in California. And all lines provided on here are courtesy of Tipico Sportsbook. Tipico is a partner of Gannett Company, Inc., our parent company. They do make money off of that partnership. And if you or anyone you know has a problem with gambling, please call 1-800-GAMBLER. Everything on here discussed is for entertainment purposes only and is not meant to be taken as serious betting advice. All right.
Thanks for tuning in all season.
Have a great week out there.